Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is Entail Enhanced. To see pictures, articles, and links of what's being discussed, download the Entail app.
Welcome to You Come First with me, Megan Barton Hansen. You may know me from the 2018 series of Love Island. Since before Love Island, I've always had a passion for women's rights and interests. So I'm here to tell you everything you need to know when it comes to putting yourself first. Whether this be in a relationship, in the bedroom, your career, or your mental health. I've called in friends from around the world for an intimate, unfiltered conversation that will change your life forever. Expect lots of laughter, a few tears, and for the penny to finally drop as we discuss the most taboo and private topics. I'm here to get brutally honest. When will you realise that you come first? The best way to listen to this podcast is on the Entail app, because while you're listening, behind the scenes, photos, links, and exclusive content will appear. It's spelled E-N-T-A-L-E. So go download it now and check it out. In this week's episode, we'll be speaking to Rakaya, award-winning sex educator, writer, and sexual health activist from London, who seeks to redefine sex education for the future. So, a bit of background. I met Rakaya during a Glamour panel talk that we done a few weeks ago, and it was so amazing. It was so much fun, but I was so blown away by Rakaya's knowledge, like, after you spoke, I didn't even want to like contribute to the point. I was like, what can I even add after hearing all the information that you had? What really stuck out for me is what you said about virginity, that it's a social construct. Like, I never thought about it like that ever. I just assumed, I don't know, it was like a religious thing or this really precious thing. But it's really just a way to value and control women's sexuality. When did you first realise this or learn about this?
I would definitely say during like the beginning of my like sexual liberation journey, because I come from a religious background as well. So I realized that, oh my God, a lot of it is tied in with purity culture, as well as just the whole idea of like sex being centered around men and men's orgasms. And, you know, like the whole thing about like sex doesn't end until he comes and stuff like that. Like, I realized that it was very penis centered, and it was very penis in vagina centered, because of those constructs. Like, other people such as like lesbian sex, like, it gets left out of the conversation because everything is so about the man, if that makes sense. So I learned about those things, yeah, when I was starting my sexual liberation journey, and it's helped me so much to understand pleasure and what pleasure means to me, and, you know, how to advocate for myself as well in sex. And also, I don't know, it's just been liberating.
Yeah, like, it's never been put like that to me. It's very penis-centered, but that is such a way of describing it.
Yeah, because when you think about it, like, when you have sex and stuff, like, when it comes to female pleasure, it's usually, like, foreplay. It's kind of like the appetizer. It's never considered to be the main thing. Or sometimes a lot of women they experience sex where with men, anyways, women who have sex with men, they experience situations where the guy doesn't even like bother, like he doesn't even bother to try or at least attempt to make her come, or you know, to figure out like what gets her off. It's just always about the man.
Yeah, that is madness to me. If a guy behaved like that in my bedroom, I'd be like, bye. Like, it's my turn now.
Exactly. And before, I didn't even know that. Like, I didn't, like, when I was so unaware of these things, I just used to think it was normal. Like, I used to think it was normal for B to just have sex, not come. Like, literally, just the guy comes and that's it. And I feel like that's because, like, we're not taught about female pleasure or sexuality. We're not taught about, like, how the clitoris works and stuff. Like, yeah, once again, very, very male-centered.
So true. You speak a lot about women enjoying solo sex, like, regularly on your socials. Was there ever a point where you felt solo sex was shameful? Like, at school, I was badly slut-shamed, and I carried this sense of shame around for years about it. I think that's why I'm so outspoken now. But did you ever feel the same?
Yeah, I definitely felt shame. But my shame was more to do with, it was more to do with, like, religion. So I remember when I was younger, and like when I would like touch myself and stuff, I would feel so scared because I'd feel like God is like watching me. So a lot of the times I didn't want to explore because I don't know, I just feel like someone from above is like watching me sin. And it took me such a long time to come out of that kind of mindset. Like even till today, like just maybe because I've been in religion for so long, like even till today, like there's just like a small inkling sometimes where I still feel like I'm being watched. So that's the shame that I've definitely experienced. But what's helped me to come out of it is just to understand that like pleasuring yourself is normal. Like, especially if you have like a clitoris, like the clitoris is literally designed for our pleasure, and to not use it is just, I don't know, I think that is a sin. To not use your clitoris is a sin. So yeah, so that's what's kind of helped me come out of that mindset.
I agree, it's definitely a sin not to use the clitoris for pleasure. But I think that's so common, like even outside of religion, it's still relatively new that women speak about or would engage in sex just for their pleasure. It's like you said, seen for like the male or the male gaze, or to pleasure the man. So it's really refreshing, I think, that you are saying this so openly and honestly on your social media. Was it a struggle to become as liberated as you are? Like, do you have judgment from friends, or did you have judgment from your old like group of friends, or how did they take it?
To be honest, the only time that I experienced judgment from friends was this was before I started speaking about sex and stuff, but this was after like my first experience of being penetrated. So I was actually date raped. That's how I first experienced sex. I remember telling my friends, and then they were like, oh, like, why did you do that, this and that, like, you didn't even go to the clinic, blah blah blah. Like, they were kind of like blaming me. But once I experienced that with them, I kind of started to distance myself from that group of friends, and I started to get closer to some of them I'm really still close with now, to a new set of friends. And we used to speak about sex so openly. Like, we had a group chat. Like, one of my girls would be in the clinic because maybe she's got thrush, and she'll tell the group chat like, hey, like, I'm in the clinic because I got thrush. Or there'll be somebody else who'll be like, oh, I had sex last night and I need to get checked out and stuff. And it was so open and so free. And even till today, like, my friends really support what I'm doing, and yeah, they really encourage it.
I love that. I think that's how it needs to be, just to have that transparency, like, within a friendship group. Because my friends growing up, they kind of distanced themselves from me because I was like, I don't know, like, embarrassing or whatever on their group of friends. They'll be like, oh, Megan's a slag, Megan's this, just because I admitted to masturbating. And the sad thing was, I never actually masturbated at this point. Like, I didn't even know what I would be doing. But a guy older than me was like, will you send me a video? And I was like, I won't send you a video. He's like, but have you even done it? I'm like, yeah, of course I have. Like, trying to act older. Never done it. And my friendship group were like so judgmental and horrible. So I feel like it's lovely that you've got that transparency with your friends and you can be so open with them.
Yeah, I think it's so important because friends are kind of like family. They're just like the family that you can actually choose for yourself. So, yeah, it's just so important to surround yourself with people who just encourage you and who encourage like your sexual liberation journey.
It's so true. How did you meet your community? Like, is that where you got a lot of your knowledge? Because I feel like you're so knowledgeable. Well, how did you learn all of this?
Oh, thank you so much. I would say it's all been online, actually. It's all literally been on Instagram that I've kind of like built an online community. And when I started speaking about these things, it was like, there's people who have come before, like, for example, like Aloni has been around for much longer. But like, I feel like there wasn't really a name for this movement. But when it got to like around 2018, like people were calling it like sex positivity, sex positive. And that's when I started to see a lot more people speaking about it, and we would like connect. And you know, in the beginning as well, I was speaking at a lot of events, going to panels and stuff, and that's how I'd meet other sex positive people. And it's just kind of grown. And because I feel like in the UK, this community is quite small, so everyone tends to kind of know everyone or follow the same kind of people. And so, yeah, just building relationships as well with like charity organizations, and just also, because I was working for like a sexual health charity as well, so actually being outside, like offline, and actually doing the work there as well. So yeah, that's just how the community has just slowly grown. Like, my community is really small, but it's really strong, which is what I'm really grateful for.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm so glad we was on that panel together, because honestly, what I've learned from your Instagram, I've been struggling to know for years. Like, we'll touch on that later. Like, there's something that I learned off one of your IGTVs that I didn't even know before I discovered you. So thank God for these panels and the sex positive community.
Yeah, exactly.
What are your top tips on solo sex? Like, I feel like I'm still exploring with different toys, and I go through phases, but now, I don't know, I've got a bit lazy with it. Like, I just do it when I go to bed. But I need to be more experimental, I feel. But maybe I should wait until I get some blinds in my new house before I start experimenting too much.
Yeah, I think one of my best tips is to try edging. So, like, I think edging is really good, because some people think edging is just for people who just want to, who have a bit of for men who have like, or just people with penises who have erectile dysfunction. But it's not just for that. It actually is like a way to tease yourself. And it kind of, because you know that feeling that you get like right before you orgasm, that's like the best feeling. And usually when you orgasm, you're like, oh my God, I wish that feeling could continue. So with like edging, it kind of prolongs it, so it doesn't necessarily have to be like a quickie all the time. Like, you know, I just get over and done with. With edging, you can kind of like make it last longer. Edging is basically a way to kind of like control your orgasm, so you can kind of like prolong it. So that moment that you feel like you're just about to orgasm is the moment that you kind of like stop yourself. So people use it in like different scenarios. For example, if you're into femdom, for example, maybe it's a guy who's into femdom, the woman who is giving him a blowjob or a hand job, she could be doing it, and then as soon as he's about to come, he's like, I'm about to come, and then she stops. Or it could just be if you're having solo sex and you feel yourself about to come, you just kind of like stop, or like you can like stop start. So maybe you touch your you touch your vulva a bit, you touch your clit a bit, then you stop, and then you touch another part of your body, just to basically prolong that heightened sense of pleasure. And yeah, it just makes it more fun. And it's great for people as well who come too quickly, because that's how you can kind of train yourself to prolong the time that you last, basically. And another thing as well that I think is good is probably, you know, dressing up for yourself. That's another thing that I think is great, like actually making it a session, and wearing some lingerie or like lighting some candles, you know, setting the mood in your bedroom. And because to me, like, solo sex is a part of self-care, and those are things that we usually associate with self-care, like, you know, running a bath, lighting candles and stuff. So why not do that in like preparation for like a solo sex session? Music as well. Music is really good.
That is so true. I always say, like, I was an ambassador for like a lingerie brand, and I'm always like, I don't wear it for my partner, I wear it for me. Whether that's like a male or female partner, I'm doing it for myself. But I've never actually taken the steps to dress up purely for myself. But that is a good idea. I'm definitely going to try that out. Also, I feel like it's so unhealthy that during growing up and school and stuff, we never got taught about pleasure or the anatomy of our pussies. Like, it was very clinical. It's very like, right, you can get this STI, or this is how periods happen, or this is how not to get pregnant. But honestly, this is what I was talking about earlier. I've learned so much from one of your IGTVs. It was one of your first ones, I think, and this lady was speaking about your clit and that the G-spot is actually like the inside of your clit. I never knew this. I thought the G-spot was like this mystical, magical thing that didn't really exist unless she was like super sensitive. Because personally, I don't get off from just penetration alone. So I was like, what is all the fuss about? And then I got this toy and it was just mind blowing. I was like, okay, I think I found my G-spot. But yeah, before that video, I didn't know that the G-spot was actually a thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I know which video you're talking about. That lady, oh my God, like the stuff that she was saying was so mind blowing. But like, you know what? That it is actually, there's a lot of different opinions. I'm actually in the camp where I feel like it doesn't exist, but I do feel like you can orgasm internally. But then, like, there's a lot of statistics that show that most people who have a vagina, like, they actually don't ever experience internal orgasms ever. Like, most of us prefer like some form of clitoral stimulation. And the thing in the video as well is that she said that how the clitoris isn't just like that top part that we usually think it is. Like, it goes inside and it has like two bulbs inside and it becomes engorged just like a penis does. And the thing about the G-spot as well is that it's actually named after a man called Ernst Graffenberg. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, but it's not actually named after a place that exists in the vagina. It's named after a man. Like, it's crazy how like so much, like, there's a whole section of sex toys that are geared towards a G-spot that most people who have vaginas will never be able to find it, because it most likely doesn't exist for them, if that makes sense. And I don't know, basically my point is that I'm in the camp of I actually believe that it doesn't exist, but I guess some people have experienced actual G-spot orgasms. But I actually think it's a myth, and I feel like it's even quite problematic, like how especially in like the 80s and the 90s there were all these like publications, like these big publications kept on talking about like the G-spot, and just making women feel like something is wrong with them because they can't find it. And it's like an endless chase of I need to get to the G-spot, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm making sense right now, but yeah.
Yeah, no, you 100% are. And I can definitely say that's something that I've felt in my, like, sexual history with different partners. I've been like, is there something wrong with me? They're like, what, you can't just come off of that? And I'm like, no, like, I need to actually, like, stimulate my clit to be able to get anywhere near orgasm. Like, it feels good, but it's not this, like, magical place that people speak about. Like, oh, my God, the G-spot this. Until I found that toy, I think that added to me climaxing, but it wasn't, I wouldn't solely be able to come off of just that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, like where it stems from is the whole thing about kind of, like, penis and vagina sex being more superior to clitoral stimulation, because, like, there's actual, like, this is actual, like, kind of, there's history behind this, because, like, Freud... He created this term called, like, penis envy.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Where, like, the basically the clitoris is, like, inferior and just... it's just basically nonsense compared to the penis. And he said that how, like, in order for women to be, like, true women and... to be real feminine women, they have to, like, abandon, like, the clitoris, which is, like, childish, and focus on, you know, the vagina and experiencing pleasure from that area. So that's where, like, this whole penis and vagina, the vagina, and this whole, like, negligence of the clitoris comes from. So, yeah, it's crazy when you look at the history of, like, where this all stems from and why there's so much focus on the wrong thing when it comes to female orgasms.
Hey guys, I recorded this during lockdown 2.0 and my mic cut out right at this point. The conversation was too good, so from this point onwards we're relying on my Zoom recording, which is why the audio is a little bit dodgy.
So yeah, that is absolutely mad that some guy's telling you, don't worry about your clit, let's just focus on vaginal penetration. Like, the one thing that's designed for pure pleasure, he's trying to tell us to ignore. That's absolute savage.
Exactly. Exactly. It's because they know, it's like, they know that if women, back then especially, they knew that if women knew that their clitoris is, like, the centre of their pleasure, we would just be like, we don't need men anymore. You know, we can do it on our own. And I feel like there's a lot of fear in that. So I feel like that's why a lot of the sexologists, quote unquote, male sexologists back then were very anti-clitoris and just had the wrong idea about female pleasure.
I'm so shocked by this information that I can't even process it. It's so mean. Like, that's the thing. Yeah. I think people think men would become redundant, like, if we knew that, or if all women knew yeah. that the center of pleasure was just the clit. We don't need your dick no more. Bye.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Sometimes, like, like sometimes I'm like, oh, I want to call someone, you know, to like come over or something like that. But then I just take out my toy. I take out one of my toys. I orgasm and then I come back to my senses and I realize I didn't need anyone there. Like, so that's how it is. So that's how sometimes I feel.
You crack me up. I love the honesty.
I can do it all on my own.
We've all been there. Get the toy out and then you're like, oh, thank God, I've come back to my senses.
Exactly.
Could you recommend like any books? I feel like everyone listening to this is going to be following you before the podcast is even at the end of it, but I feel like you know so much. Like, where did you teach yourself? I know you said a lot was online, but is there books you could recommend or other sex educators that you really love?
Yeah, I would say, like, this is the book that, like, I swear by it. It's so good. And I think I even said it on the panel, but I think people who are listening to this, they need to buy this book. This is like it changes everyone's, every person with a vulva, it changes your life. So Becoming Clitorate by Dr. Laurie Mintz. So this book, very easy to read, understand. She's got the stats in there, and it's basically about how we need to focus more on the clitoris, and we need to reevaluate like how we view female pleasure and stuff. And she's just amazing. I feel, and she's the one who kind of like coined the term like orgasm gap. Like, she's the one who kind of like brought it into popularity because she did a lot of like studies on it. So yeah, I'd recommend her I'd recommend that book. And in terms of sex educators, the people who I'm really loving at the moment is Froetic Sexology on Instagram. Also, I would say Gab Alexa. Another person is Sex Education. Also, Soft Limit, that they're from the UK. Aloni, I love Aloni. Also Come Curious. Who else? There's so much. Safe Slut. There's another person called Safe Slut. There's so many. There's a whole big community here in the UK and around the world. The sex positive community is all around the world, but I feel like in the UK it's really, really strong.
Amazing. Yeah, I remember you speaking about that book, but where I was trying to think of like my own answers and I was like, oh my God, you know what you're saying so well and you're going to put me to shame. I was like, what am I going to answer? I forgot to take notes, but yeah, I'm definitely going to get that book. And for everyone listening, we'll link Rakaya's Instagram so we can all go follow you as well, the queen of knowledge.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so lastly, this one's more for me because I find it so interesting. But on your journey of being a sex educator, what's the weirdest or most unusual kink that you've come across? When I was doing webcam, feet was like a massive thing. And I remember this one time I had to kind of mimic tossing off a toy with my feet whilst being on camera. And can I tell you, the balance was not good. The camera angle was so bad. I don't get the feet thing.
I would say basically on Twitter there's like a community, like a sex community, I would say, like a kink community, and it's called Burner Twitter, and it's here in the UK. So it's like a lot of people that are like anonymous, like they post their nudes and stuff like that. And so I have my own account, anonymous and stuff. And some people have asked me, like, hey, do you do golden showers? And I'm just like, whoa. No, don't have anything against it, but I don't think I could ever participate in golden showers. And I've heard of worse, actually. One of my friends participated in hard sports. They weren't the ones receiving, though. They were the ones giving, because the person requested it off of them.
No, I couldn't. Like, I'm very vanilla. Like, I do love sex, but I don't do like these mad things.
That's the thing, like, you'd be surprised how many guys like actually really love like getting pissed on. Like, it's actually a thing. I was so shocked, but there's actually a lot of guys who enjoy that. But yeah, it's not really for me. I mean, if people want to do it, go ahead, but yeah, not really my thing.
Not me either. Yeah, it's bad enough when you're like swimming in a public pool and like someone could have peed in here, let alone someone you fancy like directly peeing near you. I'd be like, absolutely not. Exactly. Get away. So earlier on Instagram, I asked my followers if there was any questions that they had for you, because I feel like you're the expert and there's some things that I get asked all the time in my DMs and I just don't have the answers for. So I picked a couple of the really common ones. So we've got some here. I really want to squirt. Is there a way to learn?
Oh man, good old squirting. Like, I'm still trying to learn. So if anyone can figure out the cheat code, please let me know, because I've literally sat in a session with another man and they've coached me through it and I still haven't managed to squirt. So I haven't figured out the secret. Like, I don't know. I'm still trying to work out if literally everyone with a vagina can squirt, or if it's only just some people are just blessed with the ability and some aren't. But yeah, unfortunately I'm trying to figure it out myself. People love the idea of like a WAP, basically a wet ass pussy. So it's like, you know, when you're squirting, it's just, I don't know, I guess it kind of fulfills that fantasy of having a WAP.
I guess so. Someone has said, loss of libido after kids. What would you recommend for loss of libido, whether it's after kids or I don't know? For me, I think loss of libido is the worst time when I'm like not in a good place mentally. For me, I feel most like sexual and wanting to do bits with a partner when I'm in a good place, and that's because like I'm going to the gym or I'm eating healthy, I'm just taking care of myself, like other forms of self-love, I guess. But I don't know, what would your advice be to loss of libido?
I don't even know, because it happens for me as well. Like, I've realized that I actually don't have a high libido, like it comes and goes. And I think it's the same thing as like what you said, it's usually when I'm in a good mood. Like, I don't know, like if I'm just not really feeling myself, or I don't know, I'm stressed out and stuff like that, I don't really have the urge to have sex. But I feel like maybe what could help them is maybe they should just, before they do anything with their partner, maybe they should just consider, like, you know, start with themselves, like once again engage in solo sex and just kind of take your time with yourself, like maybe bit by bit. If you don't have a toy, you can use your hands or whatnot, and just explore and see how you feel, and gradually kind of like work your way up, then maybe slowly you can get back into having partnered sex as well.
Yeah, that's great advice. I do think starting with yourself, I mean, before anyone, and it shouldn't be like you're worried about your libido for a partner. Just focus on yourself and get back to that happy place, like on your own.
Exactly. Exactly.
What happens if you've got a higher sex drive than your partner? Like, oh, this has been a shocker for me. Like, not that I've got a particularly high sex drive. I think, like you said, life happens, stress happens, there's different times in people's lives. And I know that I've been an absolute brat when my partner hasn't wanted to bang. So I don't know. what advice would you give?
I actually feel like people, that's actually maybe something, if you know that you have a high sex drive, I feel like that's actually something that you should, like in the beginning stages of getting to know someone, like actually ask them, like, hey, what's your sex drive like? I remember there was one of my exes, he asked me from the start, like, you know, he said to be straight up, listen, I've got a high sex drive and I can't be with somebody who has, we still ended up being together, but like that was something that he brought up from like the very start. And I feel like that's really helpful, because you don't want to end up with somebody who down the line
they want to have sex like once a week and you want to do it like twice a day. So I feel like it is, and it's a part of healthy communication as well. So just, you know, when you're getting to know someone, just ask them questions like that and see what they say and how they feel about regular sex and stuff. And yeah, I just think that's the best way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess it's because sex and talking about sex on like the first few dates or getting to know someone is so taboo, because women typically aren't, I would say, allowed or be seen to talk about sex. We don't really have that communication. Whereas if we just went upfront and honest, like a man would, and be like, right, my sex drive is this, do you reckon we're compatible? It's a really normal question to have. It should be made more normal, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, this one did make me laugh, but also it's been a while for me, so I kind of want to know myself. How to give good head when he's very big? What would you say? What would you do?
In that situation, you have to, I would actually suggest, you shouldn't just be using your mouth, you should be using your hands as well. So learn about, like, you know, the triple combo and stuff like that, you know, like maybe one hand. This is sorry, this is gonna be a bit in depth, but like, you know, one hand on the shaft while your mouth is on the tip and another hand on his balls. Like, you know, just kind of like, just use your hands and everything else. And maybe if you can, I was going to say, could you bring sex toys into it? Some sex toys for the penis as well. Maybe that would help. And also in between giving the blowjob, you can take breaks as well and just switch to a hand job, if that makes sense. So you kind of like switch back and forth. I don't know if this is like so much detail, but yeah, that would be my advice.
This is perfect. And I think this is the sort of advice that people want to know, because you can't really get it anywhere unless you're looking at porn, which is such a bad representation of actual sex, like loving couples having sex. It's so theatrical and so for the male gay. So I think this is like perfect, and I admire you so much for being so candid and open about this, because it's something I would have wanted to know as, like, I don't know, a young girl never given head before. I would be like, right, what am I gonna do? Then like, so natural and lovely that you can give this advice so freely, and we shouldn't be judged or shamed for that.
Yeah, because it's just a normal part of having sex, isn't it? So it's definitely something that we shouldn't feel ashamed to talk about in detail as well.
100%. And there is no like how-to guide really out there. I think for men it's quite straightforward and simple. Like, you watch porn, you're like, right, stick your dick in this happens, enjoy. But with girls it's so more in depth. No one talks about your clit, no one talks about how to do these things. So
exactly.
This one again, which comes up all the time, how to orgasm vaginally through sex. And we discussed this earlier, like, it's, I've never been able to do that, you've never been able to. I think there's like a percentage, isn't there? It's a really low percentage of women that can come,
yeah,
just from vaginal sex or penetration.
Yeah, literally only like 25% of women can actually come through like vaginal penetration alone. So I just feel like, to the person who asked that question, like, don't focus too much on vaginal orgasms. I mean, you can explore, you know, maybe buy some G-spot sex toys, explore there, but don't feel pressured to be able to come through internally. And there's no, because one of my favorite sex educators, I mentioned her before, Phoretic Sexology, she wrote something today on Instagram saying that how there's no hierarchy when it comes to orgasms either. So like, it's the same thing when it comes to, even though we were just literally just praising squirting, but literally there isn't any kind of hierarchy. Like, however you experience pleasure, that's it. An orgasm is an orgasm, no matter how you experience it, no matter how you even create that orgasm, like whether it's through sex toys, whether it's through with a partner, whether it's, you know, manually with your hands. Like, just stop putting pressure on the whole idea of orgasm and just focus on the pleasure part of it. And once you focus on the pleasure part of it, you won't really be bothered about, you know, whether you can or can't orgasm internally. Like, you'll just appreciate the fact that you can experience orgasms at all. So, yeah, just focus on pleasure and feeling good.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And honestly, I could speak to you all day. It's just so eye-opening, and I just love how much knowledge you have on everything. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you so much as well. Like, I love how you're really open and frank as well, because I saw, well, literally yesterday night, there was, like, in the media, they were talking about how, like, you know, you just bought a home through OnlyFans and stuff. And then I just saw a lot of bitter men in the comments. And I was just like, why are you so mad? Why are you so salty? Like, I don't know. It's really nice to see a woman just be so open and just unapologetic about her sexuality and just kind of like own it and make money from it as well. So,
oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it is difficult. I think I've been given this platform, and this was never my intention to come out and speak so openly about sex and female pleasure and all of this. But it's just, I think I was given such a hard time in the villa when I was in there, and for being a sex worker or for having sex with two guys on TV. I think now I've come out, I've really come into my own, and I'm so passionate about speaking about this. And for years I felt a sense of shame. So I think that's why I'm so outspoken now. But I wouldn't have had the courage unless it was for other women like you. And I think what you're doing is an amazing job. And yeah, I admire you so much. So thank you so much for coming on. It's been amazing to speak to you.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation. So yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this. If you did, please rate 5 stars and leave a review. And be sure to subscribe so you get next week's episode as soon as it lands. And remember, for the best experience, make sure you listen on the Entel app.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.